for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Warm Down. It's been a minute, hasn't it, since we last did a Warm Down, and I'm delighted to be joined by Jamie Jackson, Manchester United and Manchester City, I guess, because you are the Manchester correspondent for The Guardian, a pretty good newspaper, not one of the banging red tops that just writes nonsense all the time, actually worth a read when Jamie writes something. So Jamie, welcome, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you Stephen, thanks for inviting me, I'm looking forward to it. Give me a good grilling, come on, let's do it.
Right, so it's been a strange season, hasn't it? It's been a strange season for Manchester United fans. We almost have to like remove what City are doing and just concentrate on what everybody else is doing. At the moment, United are leading that pack of people who are doing normal stuff because City are doing extra normal stuff. Yet no one's happy, or seemingly no one's happy. What's your take on that?
Well, my take is I thought you'd cracked it, United, because you started off very good. You scored a lot of... So, you know, there's a lot of games we scored four goals in a game. You know, you seem to have cracked that idea that it wasn't just a centre-forward Lukaku this season, whereas Ibrahimovic last year, they were scoring the goals. People were chipping in, playing good stuff. And then I trace it back to Pogba being injured. You know, I think it was a hamstring. Was he out? I don't know, about 10, 11 weeks. It was a long time for that kind of injury. Yeah. And when he came back, or since he came back, he's not been the same. I know he got suspensions as well. So that really kind of seems to have killed you. But then you got Arsenal, for example, and put in a very good performance, you know, a proper performance, kill them at home, you know, high tempo, pressing the whole, you know, just basically battering them. And then was it the next game was the derby or kind of the game after, and you kind of go a little bit flat again. And you're right, that's why it's strange. The performances are there. And as I say, when I say I thought you cracked it, it's because the consistency was there at the start. You know, you were really, it wasn't just one or two and then, oh, what's happened? But now you've kind of gone back to that. But you are right. If you look at it, you take City away, which I know you can't really do because, you know, you're all about winning the title. You know, you jumped from sixth to second, haven't you, at the moment? I know the season's not over. That's pretty decent. It's an interesting read because with Mourinho, there's all sorts of stuff flying around. But I speak to people who he confides in, and he's happy there. You can believe what he says. The Conte stuff was interesting. I think, you know, as I understand it, he said that the other day because it amused him. He's Jose Mourinho. He knows what he's doing. He's intelligent. He's in charge. And, you know, he's kind of part of his enjoyment of it. Obviously, he was cheesed off about what Conte said about him, but the way he did it, I happened to ask that question, which he gave a very long answer. You sort of say, oh, it's the press's fault. And you thought, oh, he's been quite sort of diplomatic here. And then right at the end, don't know how long the answer was. It was a good minute and a half, 2 minutes. It was a long time for someone to be speaking. Right at the end, he drops that one in about the match-fixing scandal. And you thought, classic Jose. Now, I'm not a United fan, but United fans who you know, you might be the same, who sort of saw that, quite liked it. That's what they want from the United manager, you know, just sort of being himself, personality, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it is a strange season. I still think that, you know, and I think that's why it was a missed opportunity. If you look at City defensively, I was at the game yesterday, Burnley, defensively, they are suspect. You know, that they Burnley scored from a long punt-up field, John Stones missed kicks, and then he goes, bams, and smashes it home. And I think that's where their issue.
Oh, might have lost.
And I think Guardiola knows that. But you did score like that to Derby, didn't you? You know, your goal in the Derby was through mistakes, so you did get at them, but you know, you didn't do it enough, really. So
in the Derby, we attacked for about 2 minutes and scored a goal. Like actually attacked as a team for 2 minutes and scored, and both of their goals were mistakes that was, you know, preventable. That's not to say that we would have deserved to win the game, but sometimes. You know, we probably didn't deserve to win the Arsenal game, really. But sometimes you can do a job, and that's what football's all about. It's not about who deserves to win the games. It's who wins the games at the end of the day, isn't it? So I'm not crying over the spilt milk from the derby, but they battered us without really battering us, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I don't think you're that far away. You know, I mean, if you're a City fan, you say, well, of course, you know, you're 15 points ahead or whatever it is, but I don't think you're that far away from being the real deal. And I think he also, this number 10 wide position issue is interesting because I think that's where he feels he has to strengthen. As I understand it, Ozil's not an option at all, whether now or in the summer.
Oh, really?
That might change. That's currently what I'm being told. Griezmann, I think, you know, who wouldn't want to? They would try and get him if they could, but I don't think they think that's going to happen, certainly in January. I mean, you might go to Barcelona, but you do need...
Are moves at Barcelona still feasible with the money it's going to cost and the money they've just spent? Have they still got money in the bank, Barcelona?
Good point. I don't know. Maybe that has changed it a little bit. You obviously mean Coutinho there.
Yeah.
I just think this January, probably that won't happen. But to get back to a general point, I don't know. You look at Lingard and you say, maybe he could be a player who scores these goals that I'm talking about. Because you need goals from elsewhere, really, don't you? Because Lukaku's done very well, don't get me wrong, but he needs support, any centre-forward does. And maybe it's Lingard. I think he's surprising Mourinho. You know, I think Mourinho's kind of always sort of half-believed him, if that makes sense, but he's forcing his way into the reckoning now, isn't he? I was at that game on Friday, and he basically won it for you, obviously. You know, you were sort of meandering along. It was a little bit... You were on top, don't get me wrong, but you weren't lethal in front of goal, and he does that. Maybe he can be the player. I like him, I think... I've just done a little bit for him, actually, for The Guardian, and I've forgotten. You know, he had that knee injury on his debut against Swansea, right? And because of that, he had to go to Derby on loan. He's come back from that to win the FA Cup winning goal, a goal in the FL Cup, Community Shield, you know, the one on Friday. It's, I could go on. You know, he's got something about him that I think marks him out. And at the moment, you have to say he's ahead of Rashford, really, in terms of how important he is to the side. So maybe that's what's going to happen. Now, he's 25 now, Lingard. It's interesting, isn't it? It took him a little while to break through and become the player we're talking about, but he seems to be doing it consistently. So you just have to wait and see. I think
Sarac's got a really famous quote about him where he said he's not going to be in the first team at 18, 19 because of his age, because of his size. He's going to take a little bit longer, and he's proven pretty accurate. But I think if you remember a lot of the class of 92, besides Giggs, Gary Neville made his debut at 17 because of the foreigner rule. None of them really broke through until they was in their 20s. The breaking through of teenagers is still quite a rare phenomenon, really, for people. Like David Beckham was, I think, 19, 20 before he was even starting getting sniffs, I think.
That's a really good point, Steve. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, you'll know better than me, but I actually, when Scholes came through, there was a time when I thought he's not going to do this. This is right at the start of his career. You know, I think he started up front and he seemed to be in and out of the team and, you know, games. And then obviously we know what he went on to do. So you are right. I think, you know, let's wait and see. I think the Champions League might be interesting for United because Mourinho knows what he's doing, obviously, in that competition. And I still think it could be a very good season for you. I'm not saying you're going to win the Champions League, but with that manager, he just finds a way. And people might say, oh, well, you know, it's a bit of a cliche now that. But look what he did last season with... not as good a team as this year, two trophies. You know, let's just wait and see. He would love, and I think everyone there, you know, at the club would love to get maybe two big game players in this January, but I'm just not sure if it's possible because, you know, it's January.
What I was hearing in December was Danny Rose and Ozil was basically on the way. What sort of broke over the last week is that it seems like the board don't want to get Danny Rose because they're saying, you've got Luke Shaw. For once ever, I actually kind of agree with the board that, yeah, Luke Shaw, he's adequate at the moment. It's like bothering about our haircut when we've clearly got no shoes. That's what it seems like he's doing at the moment. Let's go get some shoes. Let's get someone to give a bit of balance on that right-hand side. I know that he complains that he wasn't able to sign everybody he wanted in the summer. And I kind of half have sympathy for him on that and half say... you had people, or you've got people in and around the squad that you could have made better use of. Fosu Mensah, he could bring back. Pereira, he could bring back, and that they would bolster the squad. They would have got minutes in December, undoubtedly, and they would probably have good performances in December. But if you look at that, he says he didn't get one player. Well, if you listen to what's happened in the summer, he didn't get two players, really. Because I think he went for Griezmann and Perisic at the same time, and he didn't get either. Now, a forward three of Perisic, Griezmann and Lukaku looks a lot different to a forward line of Rashford, Lukaku and Mata, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a bit concerned about Rashford, really. I mean, listen, he's just turned 20, obviously, in October. But Mourinho said something, you will have picked up on it, I think, you know, about taking off Mkhitaryan at half-time on Friday. He said he didn't want to do it. He said he'd done something he hadn't done that much, which is apologise to Mkhitaryan in front of the players at halftime, say, look, I don't really want to take you off. But then they went on to say to us, because he didn't feel like Rashford was going to score. Now, that's obviously, he'll know what he's doing. He's saying that publicly to sort of G Rashford up. But I don't know. When he's good, he's very good. But he still does this thing where he can take on the ball too much and not make the right decision. That's a maturity thing, of course. You know, as you just said, players, it is a little bit rare for teenagers to be, you know, the finished deal, like, say, Rooney was, for example. But I'm kind of hoping that with Lukaku, I mean, I know he's back now, but I was hoping he would get a, you know, he would take his chance at centre-forward, Rashford, because I still think he gives you a different option. And going back to what you just said then, I mean, if you can get, it's a big if, but if they could have got, yeah, Perisic or Griezmann, let's just say Griezmann in the summer, then you're right, I mean, that transforms that. Because I'm looking at Mata, and I'm thinking, if you're going to play Mata, play him at number 10. Mm-hmm. I know why he doesn't do it, Mourinho, because he wants a pacey player in there. But you're telling me that in terms of football, guile, skill, vision, he's behind Mkhitaryan?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Mata's a beautiful player. In terms of pure football, Mata's an absolutely beautiful player.
Yeah, I think he is United standard. And I think, you know, he's not exactly the same. But if you're looking, if people are thinking, what about Ozil? Well, I think Mata's of that kind of ilk,
Difference between Mkhitaryan, Mata and Ozil. So when he's talking about going for Danny Rose on the left and he's talking about going for Ozil up front and you're like, we've not changed what we've got here. We've just sort of maybe replaced what we've got. And you're like, that's not what United needed. That's not going to change the stagnation of what we've got. If we'd have got Mahrez, clearly available, if we'd have brought in Mahrez for that right-hand side, that might give us a different outlook. Not cup-tied in the Champions League. Someone who's going to make an actual difference to the team. Yes, makes a lot of sense to me. If we would have brought in, I can't think of a name off the top of my head, but another number eight, like maybe Schneiderlin. Joe, not actually Schneiderlin, but someone more in that ilk that we've let go. That would have enabled us to keep playing three-man midfield. I agree that Jose's not been backed anywhere near like Pep Guardiola's been backed, but I also have to lay some blame at his feet that he's not managed what he's had correctly. Now, I don't know what the external forces at play are on all of that lot, but from a purely superficial kind of view, he's had the resources and mismanaged them. 30 million on Lindelof, who's played like half a dozen games. You think Tuan Zebi could have played half a dozen games, not saying he's ready to start all 50 games this season, but if he was coming in for 6 cameos this season, Tuan Zebi's of that level. So if you really wanted someone for the right or for the left up front, that 30 million could have gone there rather than going at centre-half where we've got about 9 centre-halves. I think he's complaining about not having the money, but he's mismanaged some of the money that he's got, I think.
It is a bit of a puzzle what happened in the summer over Perisic, just to sort of centre on him, because, again, you talk to people there at the club and that, listen, on the one hand, they're going to say to someone like me, you know, yes, there's money there. But you're telling me that if Mourinho hadn't pushed, you know, really hard for a Perisic, I just don't buy that. Let's say you'd be 50 and then whatever it would be for wages, I don't know, call it best part. I don't know, what would it be, 100 million altogether? Maybe a little bit more, I don't know, for the wages or the contract. It wasn't there. That struck me as very odd. I mean, but you're right. If it was a choice between him and Lindelof, you know, with Rojo, Smalling, Jones, Blind can play there. You know, Bailly, obviously, a very good player there. You do wonder why. I mean, it might have been the right-back thing as well, because he can play right-back, and maybe he felt he needs cover there. But again, you sort of, why not get a specialist right-back in who can fly down the wing? And you know what I mean? It seems a little bit iffy. I just think, it's a simple thing to say, but I think you just lack goals, like proper goals. Hate to mention it again, but look at the amount of goals that Sterling has scored. Now, okay, you couldn't predict that, right? You know, he scored 8. I think he's the second top scorer now. He's 18 behind Guerrero's 19. But you need a player like that, like Dele Alli. He's the one I always pick out. I know he hasn't done it this season, but maybe he would do for United. Just someone who's going to score goals and give it a little bit more of an edge, maybe, to your front three. He keeps on...
If you see what we did last year with Zlatan, Zlatan finished the season on 28, and I think it was Marshall was the next highest one on 11. There was a massive gap between the leading scorer and everybody else, and it was obvious to see that everyone else wasn't being brought in. And I think that was because of the way Zlatan played. And I think when we brought in Lukaku, yes, we wanted goals. We've got goals. I'm not sure what he's on now. Is it 16 he's on now? But he's chipping in with assists.
Yeah.
His movement has literally nothing changed between United's style of play from this season to last season, but everybody else is scoring more goals. Now, it could be that some of those players have just matured and developed, but I also think it's because of the style of play that Lukaku leads the line with. I think Lukaku's way of leading the line is unselfish at times. Maybe he could be more selfish. Like, I think he's a well more rounded player and way more intelligent player than he gets credit for. Because if you look like he's on 15, 16, whatever he's on, you've got Rashford and Martial approaching double figures as well already before Christmas. You've got Jesse Lingard knocking on the door as well of scoring goals. He's only been in the team since like October, I think. And you've got everybody else. Paul Pogba, even early doors, was scoring quite a lot of goals, not scored since his injury. But you're like, there's a lot of players now. The goals have been spread out around the team, whereas last year it was all focused on Zlatan. This year, everybody else is sort of chipping in. And I think that makes us a stronger team, because if Lukaku's not firing, you know, Jesse or Martial or Rashford, or there's other players in the team that can come and step that up. I do agree that we need someone with a more world-class pedigree. Yeah. I'm going to come back to the Griezmann talk. So you think there's a possibility that it could be done in January? Because I'd actually lost all hope until about 5 minutes ago.
They're spending a lot of money in January,
aren't they?
I was saying the opposite, Steve. I was saying that I'm being told probably, you know, not forget about January, because you never know in football, but almost definitely not. But, you know, it's going to be more realistic in summer, but whether they can actually get him, I'm not so sure. It's interesting you mentioned that word world class here, because I'm going to say you've got two players world class, which is De Gea and Pogba.
Not Lingard.
And then we could have an argument. Well, listen, the fact that you can ask that question shows that, you know, his progress, but I'm not going to put him in that class. You can have an argument maybe about Lukaku. Some people are going to say flat track bully. I'm not going to say that. But what I'm saying is I think you need at least one, if not two more, unarguably world-class players. And, you know, I think that's maybe the difference at the moment between, you know, United and, let's say, Real Madrid, Barcelona, City, whoever you want to pick out. The interesting thing, football, you know, as we know, it's not about money with United. I know they haven't got as much as other City, but they have got pots of money. But it's just getting these players. It's just so difficult, you know, and it's a sort of, it's a chicken egg thing, really, because with Marie, you've got the right manager there to attract them, but, you know, the team isn't right up there at the moment. And then January is difficult. That's why the summer is so important. If you can get, it's a big if, but if you can get Griezmann, I think that's a massive, massive thing, because, you know, he's a player at the top of his game from the Spanish league coming over here. Do so much for who else you could bring in. I think he thinks he's very close to Mourinho, but I think he also accepts that. It was interesting what he said about £300 million not being enough to spend, because again, he will have thought about that. He didn't just say that, oh, you know, because he was feeling, well, it was a draw, was it, against Burnley, was it in the league? He said it afterwards. Yeah, I mean, he didn't just say that because he was a bit cheesed off that they hadn't won that game. You know, he'd be thinking about these things. As I always say, he's very smart cookie. And even though it's like, oh, it's United, £300 million, but he probably had a point, to be honest. You know, you have to keep on spending, because that's the name of the game. I'm interested to see what happens, as I mentioned before, in the Champions League, because I think you've got to, for me, that competition, can you get to the quarterfinals? Yes. Then it's like, can you get to the semi-finals? Why not? And then once you get to the semi-finals, who knows? You know, with that manager and some of those players, and that's what you've got to be thinking, you know, if you're Mourinho, if you're the players, if you're fans, we're still in the Champions League with the right manager. He's won it, you know, he's won it with Porto and Inter Milan. When was the last time either of those clubs won the Champions League? You know, Inter Milan, it was the 1960s. I don't think Porto had ever done it before. He knows what he's doing, and I think that also brings him alive. I would suggest that I'm not saying this will happen, but if you finish second and get to the semi-finals of Champions League, I know you want to win stuff as United fans, I get that, of course I do, but that's not a bad season considering,
I think you've got to hand on heart, say yes, all right, we're not winning anything, but the only things we would have a parade for would be a Champions League win or a Premier League win, right? We didn't have a parade last year for a League Cup and a Europa League. So who cares if we just won an FA Cup? It wouldn't be enough for Manchester United to be satisfied. But I think if we did an honest assessment and said, coming from sixth to second and going to the quarters, but the semi-finals especially, I think it's mad, because I think quarter-finals is the minimum expectation, but semi-finals might be overachievement. So it's probably like going to be quarterfinals tops. But if we got to the semi-finals and we came second and we had a decent finish to the season, not that it matters, but Joe, if it just felt like there was a strong push towards the end. I mean, if we'd have won the three games we'd drawn in December, we'd be like 6-7 points or something along those lines off City. That's still sort of within your hands. I know mathematically it's not, but that's, you know, you're expecting City are going to drop way more now as they're probably going to shift focus onto the Champions League as it starts getting tougher. But we've probably left it too late now. You're looking at a catastrophic run of like 6 games or so where they lose a couple and draw a load. And I think that's pretty unlikely. Could happen. Could definitely happen with injuries. I just think it's really unlikely. You're looking at a monumental Newcastle-level meltdown for them to do what they did, aren't you? And I just don't think that it's in that team at the moment. I think they're too strong. But I think we will be closer than them at the end of the season than we are now. I think we've got over our blip, survived it, and are still in second. Despite the... there is a lot of unrest on the terraces. There is a lot of unrest amongst United fans online. And it's kind of sad. But yeah, it's an absolutely crazy season. Jesse Lingard is a real bright spark in that. On what you were saying about Rashford earlier, Rashford's barely had a break since Louis van Gaal gave him his debut. You know, he went away with England that summer. He's come back in. Mourinho's played him literally every single game, whether it's off the bench or started him. And prior to that debut goal against Midtjylland, he was a pretty ordinary academy player. Hadn't played in the 21s, but only played in the 18s. The level of learning that Marcus Rashford's had to do in this last 2 years is unprecedented, pretty much. I don't think he was being groomed for a first-team place when he was in the academy. I think it was literally like, we've got no strikers left, better grab one from the academy. So I think a plateauing of his performances is probably, if we're being sensible, to be expected. He is frustrating at the moment. He seems to be doing a lot of things that are very similar, that a lot of mistakes that are repeated, which is he doesn't seem to be whipping balls in or floating balls in. He just fucking levers them, doesn't he? Every single set piece, every single cross is just absolutely twatted it as hard as he can. I don't know who's going to put their arm around him and go, maybe float one in next time and just see what happens. Because it is frustrating. I think we got a free kick against Derby on the edge of the box, on the byline.
Yeah.
And he just fucking levers it at the first man. And you're like... and talking on a pure footballing basis, it's a bit of a running joke from where I stand in the Stretford at the moment about why does everyone clap when we get a corner at United? When was the last time we put a good corner in? It was, what, 1998? Like, it doesn't... Why are we clapping corners here? Might as well clap a throwing ball than you clap a corner. Fucking garbage at corners. Absolutely garbage at corners. But yeah, I think there's a big... It's a big January for Mourinho. I'm certain he's going to buy. Whether he gets exactly what he wants, I think there'll be some reinforcements or another. And I think you're right that if we come second and we got to the latter stages of the Champions League, we have to, whether or not, you know, some fans are going to moan because they just like fucking moaning, but we have to consider it a successful season. Especially if we come up against, they're back-to-back European champions, but they're not exactly flying at the moment, Real Madrid, are they? If we got Real Madrid in a semi-final on current form, it'd be an even game, I think.
Especially with that manager. I mean, for me, Champions League semi-finalist to me sounds like you're in the big time because, you know, that's when it gets serious. So
one of the top four teams in Europe.
Exactly. It's not being the champions. Of course it's not. Not even the losing finalist. I get that. It's all about excellence and winning. But I just think there's something about being in those last four because suddenly, I don't care who you play, you've got a proper chance because you got that far. And what you've accumulated by getting that far in that year's tournament is the confidence that here we are in the semi. And you're almost at a slightly different team to when you started off. You know what I mean? You've grown into that competition and the opposition knows that because they feel the same. And so, but, you know, it's a bit away. It's like, what is it, like two or three rounds away. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think you've got a good chance of that. And I think that manager on any day when it's a proper game, I don't think any team wants to face a Mourinho side. They just don't. And that's why, you know, that's why he's been successful. He knows the script. You didn't get it right in the derby, but as you quite rightly pointed out, you kind of had your chances. Lukaku sticks that one in, which he should do from close range. It's a draw at the very least. Yeah. You know, I know it's all ifs, buts and maybes, but that is kind of sport. And with that, I just...
Football, I just, it? Even though it is a little bit panned for. Lukaku had a gilt-edged chance. He puts it away. We win 1-0. And it goes from being Mourinho part of the bus to Mourinho masterclass in half a second.
And you, it's interesting because those things are easy to trot out about. It could be Mourinho. It could be another manager. You know, the sort of cliches about the way they play part of the bus. I mean, but as you just said before, my attitude about football is winning's the bottom line. You know, you can sort of say X, Y, and Z, but it's all about winning. You know what I mean? And so it doesn't really matter how you do it. Of course, you want to play like Brazil in 1970 or whatever it is. But I don't know. I think this season is still going to have a few interesting twists. If you can get someone decent in this month, I mean, I'm not so sure we'll be able to do it. But if he can, that'd be a massive boost. I just, you know, beyond the ones we're talking about, I'm trying to think who he could possibly land. I mean, is there a left field player that he can bring in? You know, somebody you think. Mahrez is supposed to be got at Liverpool, is that correct? I mean, that's what the stuff was around last night.
Yeah, the bid. It seems like there's a bid been.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously. I think I once asked about that. It might have been last summer about him, and he, you know, for whatever reason, I don't think he was particularly keen. But maybe, you know, he's a player who he probably. Preview, but I'm just sort of thinking as we sit here, who can he get in this January who's going to enhance United? It's going to be tricky, but
it's got to be someone in that Perisic mould, someone who's going to constantly put the ball into the box with quality in them, because there's a lot of players can put aimless crosses into the box. I've started trying to do a little bit of scouting on a couple of players to try and narrow down what I think would be a decent shortlist, and Wilf Zaha was a name that I thought I'd just. Let me go and have a look, because he's obviously having a pretty good season. He's getting rave reviews. Let me see what he's offering. He's going into the box for himself. He's almost doing a little bit what Marshall does, with a lot more twists and turns on the right-hand side than what Marshall does on the left. And I think that's not what we need. We don't need a player that's going to be coming in for himself. We need someone whose sole purpose in life is to put the ball in the box for somebody else. And I jokingly said during the Derby game, David Beckham would still do us a job, wouldn't he? We just tell him to stand just outside the 18-yard box on the right-hand side and just put balls into him. He'd whip one into the box, wouldn't he? As long as he didn't have to run. Like, he'd manage it. Because he's never going to lose that technique. But there isn't another player that comes close to what Beckham offered, even you know, in the modern game. There's no one that's got that level of crossing ability. But that's kind of what we need to go and find, someone who's got that level of crossing. I know it's become the fashion that everyone just plays inverted wingers now. But someone that gets to the outside, or someone who gets to the byline and just puts a cross in. You've seen how good Lukaku's heading is. Oh, I think it'd be a match made in heaven. I really do. But I don't know who that player is.
Well, it's mad that you say that, because it's a good point that what's happened to the art of a very good cross. I mean, Beckham, even when Beckham came around, he was a bit of a throwback, because that was what he did, but he did it so brilliantly, didn't he? Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like he beat a player, or as you say, was an inverted winger. He'd almost like a sort of 70s or 80s kind of, you know, winger, if you like, a winger, an out-and-out winger. It was unbelievable. Obviously, he had the free kicks as well. But as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about teams don't really play like that. But when you say about fashion, you know, the fashion is kind of whatever works. At the moment, we're inverted wingers. But if suddenly United were to start playing that way and it worked, that soon become the fashion, trust me. You know what I mean? It's all about...
I can't remember who wrote it. Michael Cox, The Mixer. Have you read that book?
No, I haven't. No, but I know Michael.
I fully recommend reading that book, which talks about the evolution of tactics from essentially Wimbledon, 88, through to the modern Premier League era, and how one player comes in and changes everybody's thought, or one manager comes in with a new idea. And suddenly the whole... It's a copycat league at the end of the day, isn't it? It's a copycat league. So, yes. You know, United bring in a number 10. Someone else goes and gets a number 10, right? We're playing with number 10s in between the lines now. And I think we saw Leicester, we saw Atletico Madrid revert back to 4-4-2 and play it quite well and play it quite effectively. And I think if somebody could bring in, you know, those old-fashioned crossing wingers, I think they're always a threat, especially with a player like Lukaku that's always going to get to the front post in front of the defender and who's going to out-jump and out-muscle every single player that he's in there with. You know, he's built like an old-school centre-forward. And if you, you know, develop an old-school tactic, someone who... I honestly think Marcus Rashford could have that delivery if someone spent a summer working with him on just crossing. Antonio Valencia was... Not the same as Beckham, but he had a brilliant cross on him. Like, assist after assist. I think it was his second season at United, got player of the year. Unbelievable. Yeah. Because he would do the same move, but you couldn't stop it because he was so fast. He'd stand a defender up, and then he's shimmy to his right and he puts a cross in. He's lost that out of his game. He doesn't put crosses in like that no more. But there's got to be players that are delivering good balls, and I just think, you know, as that responsibility fell back to the defenders now, is it now a fullback's job to be putting those crosses in? Because we see that a little bit more. I just think that I would like to see a winger that gets to the byline in a counter attack and puts a ball in a box, and I think there's a place for that in the game, no matter what era we're in.
You're right about Rashford, because I've seen him do it a few times. Do you prefer him then as a wide player at the moment for United?
People say he needs to play up front to develop, and I kind of get that. But he didn't play up front that much in the academy. He always kind of played on the left of the three. He has played up front, and I've seen him have good games and bad games up front, doing pretty much exactly what you see him doing now. Bursting the line, getting through one-on-one with a keeper, and blasting it over the bar. Like, it's always been in his game. He plays super intense, doesn't he, all the time. And I think if he could take a minute to relax and get a bit of composure in him, there's a hell of a player there. Where his limit is, I don't know. Where his ideal position is, much like Wayne Rooney, I don't really know. He's almost like a player that you have to kind of know what his attributes are and just sort of fit those attributes into what you're trying to achieve in the game. You know, it's not like you can put a pin in him and say he's a definite, you know, whatever. Yeah. He's just a player like Rooney with a certain set of characteristics that are a benefit to the team. It's just up to where the manager decides he needs them in the team to put them in, I think.
Yeah, I mean, as you're talking, I'm just thinking about, like, sort of who else, you know, how do you make the play? How do you create chances? It's often Martial dribbles if he's played, or Pogba sort of breaking through. And I don't know what to make of Pogba, because I've called him world-class before, he definitely is, but I don't understand why. Okay, you can take a few games after an injury to get back into it. I understand that. Then he was suspended, so that was 3 games out, I think. But he played, what was the game? He played well at Everton, didn't he, Pogba? And he was a little bit quiet again the other night. Maybe he just needs more and more time to... But I'm a bit... When he's very good, he's like an all-action midfielder, isn't he? You know, he's in your box defending. He's making breaks. He can do the passing and all that. I just wonder whether he's going to start hitting that pre-injury form again. And, you know, not carry the team, because I don't think you are a one-man team, but sort of, you know, lead the team forward. Because I think that's... If that could happen, I think you become a very scary proposition. I mean, the way you could sort of argue it shows how good United are, because even when he's been flat, you're still second, if you know what I mean. You know, you're still held in there. And when it, you know, you sort of almost, you know, there wasn't a gap before he got injured between you and City. You were both up there vying. You know, it looked like it was going to be between you two. So maybe it's just as simple as
in getting back to... Mate. I think there's... No Bailly, who's undoubtedly our best defender. Yeah. And I think the confidence starts from the back. You have Bailly in the team, and, you know, and everything sort of comes alive. I think we're better at left-back than we've been all season at the moment. Luke Shaw does look like he's on the way to getting that pre-broken leg form, which I honestly didn't think we'd ever see at United. We've got no Valencia at the moment. Although, weirdly, solid defensively, lacking going forward, which is mad considering he's an ex-winger. I just think he's had his wings clipped a little bit. Matic has picked up loads of injuries and stayed playing through injections and all that sort of stuff, and that there's always a bounce back with that. I think it was the right thing to see him rested against Derby. I'm glad that he was rested against Derby. I'm glad that the lads are now going doing a bit of warm weather training that they're going to get prior to the Stoke game. I think that's going to be beneficial for them. Have a relaxing time in the sun together. But I think you know, Matic had just played one too many games, needing to, you know, be the man that he was. I don't like the formation 4-2-3-1. I think, as we saw against Everton, he's such a better player, Pogba, when he's allowed that freedom to roam a little bit more. He starts 20 metres further back when you play 4-2-3-1 than when he plays in a midfield three. And Herrera, last season, end of the season, we had so many people calling him for to be the next United captain. That player has not turned up this year. He's been way off the pace. Looked a little bit better in the last couple of games, but still not quite himself yet. And then you've got the issues with the balance on the right-hand side. You've got the constant rotation of Martial and Rashford on the left-hand side. Lukaku hit a skid of form. And I just think while we all focused on Pogba being out and then focused on him coming back, like, that's going to make all the difference, we missed that. You know, Lukaku had started to slip. Matic needed a rest. We hadn't had Bay. We'd lost Valencia. And I think there was just numerous things that in the equation that we wasn't really taking account of. And, you know, you can see one player can make the difference. If you look at in the 90s, the years that United didn't win stuff was when we lost massive key players. 1995, we didn't have Eric Cantona because of him kicking a fan. 1998, Roy Keane had done his cruciate. And apart from those two, we'd have won every single Premier League in the 90s, potentially. Yeah. And those players may have made the difference. So you can't tell that until you have the hindsight of history to look back on.
Yeah.
I think we're still a long way off talking about winning the title and retaining the title. I think we are a long way off that. I think you're right that we probably need a couple more world-class players. And word on the street locally is that Jose's wants a couple more windows where he's allowed to just go full throttle and buy ready-made players like he has been doing before he starts to look at the younger, more developing sort of players. I can see a real big clash on the horizon between Mourinho and Woodward and the Glazers. And obviously I know which side I line up on that.
Of course, yeah. I mean, what I do like, I think it's really, really good and clever, is this break that you just mentioned there, because I think that is a chance. You know, for me, it shows that Mourinho is trying everything he can. You know what I mean? I know he should. It's his job. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, the fact that they're all over there, sunshine, it's January. I don't care who you are. You need a break from whatever you're doing. Listen, the top professionals, they know this money. That's why. I get that. But sometimes you just need a bit of a reset. And the fact that he's gone over there, they will appreciate that, the players. And it's a chance for him to say, look, you know, we're halfway through. We're a little bit over halfway through the season. We're still in the FA Cup. We're still in the Champions League. We're still second.
Treble's still on, Jamie. The treble is still on.
There you go. That's what he'll be saying, exactly that accent, Steve. But you know what I mean? It shows that he's trying to freshen it up. He's doing his job, basically, as well as he can. I mean, as I understand it, he's never worked as hard as he ever has, and he's a hard worker. Again, like they all should, don't get me wrong. But I think, you know, it's a good sign that, as I always say, I'm no United or City fan, but I think if you are a United fan, you should be optimistic. You sound optimistic, which is good, because not every United fan I've come across is. But, you know, the fact that you are talking there about, okay, we can't really talk about winning titles or retaining them, but, you know, under Van Gaal, you wouldn't even be saying that. You know what I mean? That's where you are.
The progress
exactly.
It's tangible. It's real.
It is. And the fact you're also saying, yeah, we won two trophies last season, but there's no need for a parade. You're right, but at least you have those two trophies. You know what I mean? At least that is... If United under Mourinho first season not being highly successful, still winning two trophies, and then doing what you're doing now, that's progress. And you need to win the title soon. Don't get me wrong, because it's United. It's 2013. You know that better than me. You need to start. But
it's gonna be
if he was six again,
it's going to be 5 years, right? I hope it doesn't get to 10. That's the thing.
Because psychologically,
it might get to seven, yeah. But by the time it gets to six and seven, I'm hoping it was down to the wire. And you go, we're getting there. It's just that you've got to have the nerve. I didn't ever say get rid of Van Gaal because I could kind of still see the progress in what he was doing.
Yeah.
You'll not see me screaming it for Mourinho, even though it's there. It's definitely people there because they're not happy. Like you said, like the style of play, fucking irrelevant.
Yeah.
The thing he's got to sort out first, because look at what Klopp and Pochettino are doing, right? Oh, they're playing pretty little football. They've won fuck all, the pair of them. And ultimately, that's what you're in this game for. So I don't care if Mourinho bores the piss and 1-0s his way to picking up anything that he picks up for a couple of years. Once he's won stuff, I would like to see him develop that by adhering to what we really want as United fans. But ultimately, he's got to deliver trophies, first and foremost. No one's going to say, do you know, that was good football, wasn't it? But we didn't win anything. Because actually, under David Moyes, we had some really exciting games. Still got rid of him because he comes sixth.
Yeah.
Or seventh even.
Yeah.
You've got to win stuff.
I just don't see Guardiola's City continuing like this for the rest of the season. I think people need... What happened last year was they won the first 10, I think it was the first 10, and there was a little bit of a...
This is the third year they've done it, isn't it? Similar. Similar sort of result.
Is it?
Well, Pellegrini did it as well.
Yeah, and under Guardiola, they started to become a little bit, oh, this lot are unbeatable. But then obviously they got beaten and the backside fell out of City, basically. I mean, that Monaco game away is the one I always reference. I could not believe that. It was a very odd game where they got knocked out. But so what I'm trying to say is it might just take longer for, or it might be taking longer for stuff to work out that they can get at City, you know, and actually put it into effect. You know, Liverpool at home, United when you played them, and then Burnley. That's just three examples of where that defence has creaked. Maybe I make too much of a thing of it, but to be honest, part of my job is to look for sort of pluses and weaknesses in teams. You know, that's kind of, you know, to sort of to give a good analysis. And I always go back to that defence. And I think maybe that was the frustration Mourinho felt, Klopp that day when Mane got sent off, and even Dyche a little bit yesterday, was that, oh, you know, we breached them, but you've got to be able to continue it. You know, until I see a performance from City in which, you know, that whatever you want to call it, attacking the defenders, either, you know, Otamendi along the ground or in the air, and they resist that properly, you know, for 90 minutes, I'm still not convinced that they are absolutely an amazing team.
If they beat Barcelona or Paris or someone of that ilk in the Champions League this year, I'll hold my hands up and say, fair play. But I think a lot of the praise that they're getting, I'm seeing them called the best Premier League team ever, despite never winning it, which is ludicrous.
Yeah.
You know, people talking about the treble team and Arsenal's 2004 team and all the rest of that. They're, for me, not even the best Premier League team. For me, the best Premier League team was our 2008 side. We had a Ballon d'Or winner in it. We had a European double, Champions League and domestic champions. Could have won a treble. We were very close to that. We won the league the next 3 years. And this was at a time when actually English football dominated European football, which is not at the moment. So City are dominating a weak league. They're still dominating it, but it's a weaker league than what it was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you'd had Liverpool being a Champions League final, Arsenal being a Champions League final, United and Chelsea in a Champions League final, and two, three semi-finalists every single year.
For
10 years. So English football was at its pinnacle, and United dominated it and won three back-to-back titles and a European Cup, and was in two Champions League finals at a time when English football was dominating Europe. So that, for me, was an unquestionable the greatest Premier League side that we've seen. To call City the greatest Premier League side that we've ever seen, when they still might not win the league. Like, they're probably going to win the league, but they haven't won it. So can you imagine how mental that is if we get to the end of the season, and let's say it's not even United, let's say it's Chelsea retain the title, and people are calling that City team the greatest. How fucking stupid are people going to look at calling the greatest team? You've got to retain it. You've got to win it. You've got to retain it. And you've got to be doing it at a time when the league is a hard league to win.
Yeah.
If the whole league is shit, which is what we're being told, or if United are shit, which is what we're being told, and United are second, then the whole league is shit, surely.
Yeah, I mean, good concept about retain, because, you know, that's very difficult. Obviously, City have never retained the Premier League title. It's all obviously only Chelsea and United. And there's only United. They've done it three times. And United won it three times on the bounce twice, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
99,
2000,
2001,
yeah.
And
07, 08. So that, you know, I would argue that is, until you win it, for me, that's actually the mark. And as I sit here now, I think that if you win it three times on the bounce, more times than anyone else has, that has to be the greatest team, right? Because it's the Premier League we're talking about. Do you understand what I mean? I don't care. Even if they win it this year, City going unbeaten, I don't think it's as good as the United side that's done it twice. I would, you know, that Arsenal team was pretty decent as well, the one that went unbeaten. So I think what people are saying, or anyone who's got half a brain, is they're playing good football and look what they could be. But hold on a minute, let's just wait and see. They are, you know, I hate to say it, it is nice to watch them. You know, once they get going, it is very nice to watch. I was there
this
yesterday,
year,
obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. But I thought last year they got a lot of praise. And all he did last year, not all he did, but a lot of what he did last year was passing it around the two centre-halves and the goalkeeper.
Yeah, okay.
This year, they're not doing that. This year, it's way further up and it's way more dangerous.
Yeah. No, I didn't really rate him last year, Steve. I, you know, I thought they were not just like, I didn't really necessarily think he should win it the first season. It was the way they just fell away. It was like they had no backbone, no, you know, they were a little bit like sort of Arsenal, deluxe Arsenal sort of side, slightly better, but, you know, pretty average really when it came to winning and killing teams off. But this year, yeah, you know, they are nice to watch because they've got a lot of, I mean, that De Bruyne, you know, he's doing the business properly. But you talk about injuries. I asked Guardiola this relatively recently. What would you know? You always have to press Arge this question by saying, obviously, you hope this doesn't happen, but what would you do? Or how would City fare if Silva and De Bruyne were injured? And he had a joke about it, but he didn't particularly like the question because that's the truth. And this is one of the things I always think about injuries. You know, you sort of say you shouldn't use injuries as excuses. I get that. You've got big squads, and part of being a manager is managing that. But to be honest, if you have two or three of you, you know, your best players being injured, what can you do about that? Because the whole point about buying these players is to get them into the side because they're the best players. So, you know, this David Silva thing's, unfortunately for David Silva, obviously, with his prematurely born son, obviously we hope that goes well. But he's in and out of, you know, he's going across to Spain and coming back. I think he was in Spain on Friday, came back yesterday, captain side, played very well. But you've got that going on, you know. They could only be two injuries away from it getting interesting. Again, I know you don't want that to happen, but it's just, you know, you go back to the Pogba thing, that kind of hamstrung you a bit. I remember City under Pellegrini, De Bruyne got injured in January 1 year, got a bad knee injury, and the backside fell out of that side. There is a lot of vagaries, a lot of sort of fortune you need. Yeah, you make your luck, you know, in sport, you have to, you know, the more times you practice, the more lucky you are, that sort of thinking. But, you know, maybe it's City's turn to have a big slice of luck, and then it will sour, and it'll be someone else's turn. You do need it. I think even Ferguson or, you know, would admit that you need to be lucky. You just need to be, because there's so many things that, you know, you can get a suspension you don't deserve. You can get, like, whatever it is, a goal disallowed. But yeah, listen, this season, hands down, City are far and away the best side. But I don't think they are. In fact, I don't think anyone should say it. They are. How can they be the best Premier League side? It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
I'm very interested to see what they do in Europe so we can finally gauge where they're at. And like you said, some of those attacks, the Barcelona attack, the Paris attack especially, the Bayern Munich, if they can sort of get their act together a bit, those teams could press home and find weaknesses in them. And they're teams that aren't going to try and counter-attack them. They're just going to attack them. They're going to look at frailties in that side. And
yeah,
it's frailties in the side that you're noticing when the City team has got 70-75% possession in a lot of games. So there's, you know, they're showing weaknesses when they're not under a lot of pressure as well. Like, they're not getting a lot of trade and the weaknesses are there. So I think, yeah, they'll come up at a game that's going to be more 50-50 and they might get found out. And I'm going to be delighted if it happens.
I bet you are.
Jamie, you got a book coming out that you're crowdfunding for. Do you want to tell all the people about it?
Yeah, it's called Nighttime Cool. I've now crowdfunded it. So thanks to everyone, including you, Steve. Very kind of you. So it's now at 100%. So now what happens? I'll find out a little bit more this week coming up, but it's like a whole editorial process. I'm going to be assigned an editor by Unbound. There'll be a cover design process. So I'll find out more. I'm told 3 or 4 months for it to go for editorial. Very exciting. People could still sort of pledge or buy the book if they go to the page. But it will be out, I'm thinking, maybe for summer holidays. It's about a bent Metropolitan Police detective and a fake coke bust. It involves a pimp, a porno king, a DJ, a very dogmatic reporter, and away we go. It's supposed to be a bit of fun, a bit of intrigue, thriller. It's not a whodunit. It's a why are they doing it? I'll put it that way.
Interesting. So, yeah, I'll fill the link in the description if you send it us in a bit. And
cheers.
And go and support Jamie doing that. Why not? It's a little bit of fun. And it does sound like a crazy book to go and read on the summer holidays. Or maybe the World Cup. Hopefully I'll get in time for the World Cup. I'll read it in Russia. So thank you, Jamie, for joining us. I'll throw all the links to go follow Jamie and for his book and that in the bottom. So cheers, mate, for joining us. Give him a follow on Twitter and check out some of his work. Thank you guys for tuning in. Subscribe if you're new around here. I've got some unbelievable guests lined up, some ex-players from other teams coming up, hopefully this month. So make sure you subscribe to the Warm Down. I'll see you in the next one. Laters.